On the one hand, I really feel for this father. I feel for him. And on the other hand, I really admire him. He accepts the decisions that each son makes and comes alongside both of them. There is no judgment cast on either of them, regardless of the decisions that they take. And ironically, I would suggest that we, the readers, specifically, and history, generally, are more likely to be judge and jury in this story. Most often we say the younger son is immature, irresponsible, wasteful, and entitled. We tend to admire the older son's maturity, his responsibility, his work ethic, and the accountability he has to the family farm. And I suspect we also wince a little at the celebration held for the stray son who returns after an eye-opening and desperate time. Was he really that deserving, we wonder? Yet through it all, the father holds the container for both his kids. His love for them endures. And there is gratitude and celebration that the younger is home, safe. It's such a human story, really. The firstborn so often is the responsible one by nature, generally speaking. And perhaps you've noticed that too. Susan and I are both older kids, which means we have a high degree of responsibility in our house. And when one's not responsible, the other is. And in this story, the older son is the one who works hard. He tries to do everything right. He probably shakes his head a lot and silently harbors disdain for all the energy and attention that goes to his younger brother, the wilder, more emergent, less mature one who somehow squeaks through close calls brought upon by his own naivete, his own courage, or even stupidity. The younger probably doesn't even really know what he's asking. But he's full of emergent energy and chooses to leave home with his inheritance. A seriously flawed plan and a pretty brazen request of his dad. For better or worse, there comes a point when the boy becomes the man, and what is the father to do? Except honor the request and send him off into the world while draining his GICs and his RESP. So much humanity here, so much worry, so much grace. Unless we think the dad is a bit crazy for doing this, I am aware of many parents who offer some of their inheritance early to their children because they know that now is the time in their children's life when the need is the greatest. Schooling, buying a home, getting started and situated, yes, even travel. So the sons, they are young guys. They are choosing their path. The father is wise enough to know that. One stays home, the other trundles off. No doubt the father is worried for the younger and perhaps at the same time wishing the older would get out into the world a bit more. Nevertheless, the father and the older son, they continue. They work alongside each other while the younger is gone. And I'm sure Dad is worried and thinks of his younger son often, every day, while at the same time appreciating the company of his eldest. Yet, unlike today, there's no texting, no FaceTime, no Skype, no WhatsApp, no Instagram, no photos on Facebook, no way to know how the younger son is doing. Although I wonder what sort of photos might appear on the young son's Facebook page. Some amazing adventures, some not so becoming images of the night before and the morning after. possible sad posts around loneliness, maybe even a GoFundMe page after the money runs out. So that's all speculation. And Dad, of course, has no way at all of knowing what life is like for his younger son, and I bet he's worried a lot of the time. Parents worry. They are anxious. And they pray a lot that their children are okay when they are away. One day, after who knows how long, the younger son arrives home. It's a hugely touching moment of emotion, embrace, and gratitude. And Rembrandt captures this so beautifully. I'm sure there must have been tears. A parent's love for their children is deep. This is not about lost dollars, danger, and what the hell were you thinking? This story is about the restoration of relationship and the coming together in love. The story is evocative. What was lost is found. What had died has come back to life. No matter what, both sons have an unconditional invitation to exist in the presence of their parent, where the provision is always greater than the need. So when I think of daring to hope in a changing culture, today's gospel makes me think of relationship. In the story from Luke, the parent is the one who tends the relationships, who keeps home for his sons, who creates room for their expression, and who holds on even when they are apart. These qualities are disappearing in our North American culture, where it seems relationship is being compromised all over the place by a whole host of competing values that demand from us more work or more competition or more independence at an earlier age. And it goes on. And the result is an epidemic of high alarm and anxiety in our children and adults because they cannot rest enough within the context of a nurturing relationship. I invite you to look at how this story is all about relationship, all about how the dad comes alongside each of his sons. This is a parenting story. Look at the way the story provides parental love for each of the boys. Look at how the young son matures and comes to his senses. Look how he knows that despite his huge screw-ups, he can still go home to the relationship with his parent. He's a changed kid, to be sure. And the story makes room for that in the unconditional love offered by the dad. I dare to hope in the human capacity to recover the primacy of relationship as our source of maturation and wisdom. We all suffer from some form of stuckness. Even the older son is stuck in his ways and his thinking. Both sons suffer in this story. They just do it differently. Their path to maturity and wholeness rests in the safe and caring relationship with their parent and his capacity to love them and provide room for them. In Christian community, our hope rests in the expression of community that fosters relationship and responsible, safe, and caring attachments for our children and our adults. That's our job. That's what we do. We find our truth in the unconditional, rest-filled, loving, and divine invitation to exist in God's presence, where the provision is always greater than our need. Always greater. Today's gospel teaches us about safe and caring relationships that we have with God, the one we can lean into, the one we can come home to, the one who loves us unconditionally. This is the mystery and wisdom of today's gospel. I see young men and women who from time to time end up in pretty messy situations. The ones who have the best chance of survival are the ones who have parents and adults in their lives who are their best bet. It doesn't make the situation easier, and maybe won't keep the child out of jail, but the invitation to have them exist in their parents' presence is a godly expression which leads to reconciliation, healing, and wholeness. And that's what I think Luke is saying. And that is what gives me courage to dare to hope. Herein is wisdom, I pray. Thanks be to God.